Brian, and welcome to BattlefieldResumes.com Leadership Podcast, where my twin brother Bruce and I are committed to building better leaders. From webcasts to webinars, podcasts to personal services, one-on-one coaching to online opportunities, remember, the key to success begins with building the leader in you. As part of the John Maxwell team, we want to live out the principles that John teaches. This is our rule of five that we seek to practice every day. To lead, to grow, to create, to excel, and to serve. Please visit us at BattlefieldResumes.com. And remember, make today count. All right, this is Bruce Benedict, president of Battlefield Resumes. And today we're going to be interviewing Brian Benedict, part of the Police and Firemen's Insurance Association. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do these interviews is because, you know, I see all kinds of vets, and I'm one myself, and Brian's a vet as well. And every time we transition, or every time I hear a vet transition, the problem that I always hear from them, and I experience the same thing, is that they receive overloaded guidance. They have more guidance thrown at them from their friends, their coworkers, businesses. Everyone's giving them advice, and at a certain point, they have no idea which advice to listen to. And it's very interesting. I was just talking to a friend of mine that was giving me his story. And, you know, he basically said that he reached out to so many different people over the last few weeks or months that his resume has just taken on a whole new life of its own. He doesn't even recognize it, you know, because he's trying to listen to everybody's advice. And then he changed his resume, and then he would give his resume to somebody to look at, and they would change it. I've heard stories where people go to job fairs, you know, and when they go to each booth of the job fair, every company tells them that their resume should be shaped a different way, formatted a different way, you know, written a different way. What's the right answer? Well, you know, in Battlefield Resumes, the methodology says that all of that advice and guidance is probably good. 90% of it is probably good, but collectively you cannot use all of that guidance for all jobs. And so when you're going to one company versus another company and you're receiving different advice, you can't be confused about that advice. What you have to assume is the advice you're getting is for the company who's giving the advice to you. And so to ease the stress, because that is very, very stressful, you know, when you transition from the military, at least in my situation, I was told, forget everything you learned for the last 21 years, and you need to be somebody else if you want to get a job. And I didn't believe that. I still don't. So that's one of the reasons why I created Battlefield Resumes. What I'm wanting to do now is we're going to interview specific companies and get tailored and targeted advice for those companies. If you want a job in these particular companies, Police and Firemen's Insurance Association tonight, what is it specifically that you need to do to apply to that position and get a job? What are they looking for? Now, what we're not going to do is make, you know, recommendations that maybe you should do general recommendations for other types of companies. No, this is focused. The only thing that we focus on in Battlefield Resume methodology is tailored and targeted resumes, okay? Tailored and targeted interviews, tailored and targeted job searches. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk to Brian, and we're going to ask him a lot of questions, and you guys will have opportunity to call in as well. And we're going to figure out the inside scoop as far as Police and Fire Insurance Association and what works best for them and what they're looking for in an applicant. All right. So, Brian, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. My name is Brian Benedict, twin brother of Bruce, and kind of had different directions that we went in life. But first, as soon as we, graduated on a Friday and left for the Army, both of us on Sunday. So it's kind of unique. Bruce went up to New Jersey. I went down to South Carolina, and we went our different directions. Now, I re-enlisted once. I was a sergeant, re-enlisted once, went over to Germany and got out of the military. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you think about the battlefield resumes, because I can remember getting out of the military after it was almost 6 years. And all of a sudden you're in a strange land. You're a civilian again and have no idea where to go, what to do. It's really related very evenly with getting out of jail, I would assume, because especially at prison, if you're in there for any length of time, because you're getting out and they're saying, "Hey, thank you for your service. See you later." You walk out the gates and that's it. So after a few years and got into sales and customer service, and then was in the at age 28, got into the fire service. Just retired from the fire service as a career firefighter. But over the course of the last 25, 30 years, I've been in the sales profession on my days off from the fire service. So yeah, I can add just a little bit different angle and vision to what Bruce has done with battlefield resumes. And believe me, I understand what the guys out there are going through, especially the longer that you're in the service, the longer you're out of reality. And not to say reality, but it is. It's the civilian life is so much different. So, and he and I talk about it all the time.
Battlefield resumes, we consider it another war. You know, it's just like going into a different country, right? If you're going to go into Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria, you know, what do you have to do? You have to prepare. And you know, the same TTP doesn't apply to Syria as Afghanistan or Panama versus Korea, you know, so we're going to focus specifically on your transition and then move into Police and Firemen's Association so we can understand that particular battle, that battlefield within the war of the civilian workforce, right?
Right.
Yeah, so transitioning out of service, what were a few of the hurdles that you had to cross over, you know, and what were some of the hurdles that you experienced when you exited out of the service and then, you know, tried to get a position in a civilian job?
You know, I think the first thing is that you get out of the service and it doesn't matter if you're in 2 years, 4 years, 10, 12, 20, all of a sudden you get out and you really don't even know what direction to go. I can remember getting off the plane. I believe it was, where was that? I got off the plane from Germany and met my folks at the airport. Well, you know, I'm 22, 23 years old. Met my folks at the airport, or our folks, and you have no idea what to do. You really don't. And, you know, no direction. And at that time, I don't know if there was as much help as there is now. I think there's a lot more people like yourself out there that's helping veterans try to get a jump start. But I can remember going home and just kind of walking through motions, trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to live? What kind of job am I going to have? And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I started working for a guy in the electrical business in my hometown that, you know, for like $7 an hour, you know. And then I met another buddy of mine within the next 60 days that was working 45 minutes from our hometown. and I could make $7.50. And so, and that was when cellular phones first came out. So, you know, I'm driving for 45 minutes because I just need to get in the door to someplace. And I think a lot of that today's world, I think what people need to look at is that the majority, I don't know how to say this, but a degree, there's nothing wrong with having a degree. A degree gets you in the front door, but the degree doesn't give you a work ethic, and it doesn't give you motivation, passion. It doesn't make you driven. And I think those are the qualities that a lot of employers are looking for, and it's very difficult to find. Now, add that on top of certain areas where people can't even find, you know, people that won't come up positive on a drug test. And that's the sad truth. And so these guys coming out of the military are really better off than what they think they are. They're just a little lost, I think. And like I was, and just a little bit of direction would just go a long way. And I think it's really props to you, because you've been doing this for a little while, and I think you're making really good progress.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. It's interesting what you said about the major hurdle. You know, you come off the plane, you go back home, and you really don't know what you can do or want to do. And it's interesting because it reminded me of when I was working a lot of job fairs, and I had a resume review booth set up, and all the vets would stop by and I would review their resume. Well, remember, Battlefield resume methodology is only focused on targeting and tailoring a resume. It's, you know, general resumes in the BRM is what I call it. The BRM is Battlefield resume methodology doesn't really work, right? So the first question that I would always ask is, what job are you looking at? What job do you want? And the answer over and over and over again, I swear 99% of the time, is I can do anything. Just give me a chance. Well, that doesn't really work on the outside.
Right.
And that's the problem, is you really have to figure out what you want to do now that you have a choice. And you have to try to build up some sort of experience to support the jobs that you want. No longer can you really get into a job similar to the military, where, you know, or just the opposite from the military, where, you know, the military, if you want to be a platoon sergeant, well, they'll put you into a platoon sergeant job based on being a squad leader. But you've never trained to be a platoon sergeant. And then if you want to go to be a first sergeant, they'll put you in the first sergeant position based on your platoon sergeant job.
You're right.
Civilian workforce, if you want a platoon sergeant job, you're going to have to show them what you've done equivalent to a platoon sergeant job. If you want a first sergeant job, you're going to have to try to show them what you've done equivalent to a first sergeant job. And that's the challenge. And then, you know, how does a vet in your mind decide, you know, take everything that they've learned? Because look, I don't want vets to forget what they know. I just want them to use what they know, use the principles and the TTP to this battle. Right. What's your recommendation for veterans as to how to find their direction?
You know, I tell you, one of the issues I think that it kind of gets lost out there is depending on the branch of service. And I'll just take myself, for instance. I was a 36 Charlie back then, and that was a lineman, a cable dog, that just was a grunt of the signal corps. And the reason I got into that initially was it looked very appealing on the documentation that said, I think it said, it was like telephone systems controller, you know. And because I had thought originally that I wanted to be a lineman when I first went into the service. Well, come to find out, I'm climbing, you know, it's a tactical environment where I was going to. Was there civilian translation jobs that handled that, that was the same MOS? Yes. But very few guys got into that civilian type of job for that MOS. And I wasn't lucky enough to get into that. But, you know, what you do learn is the leadership. You do learn being driven. You do learn showing up on time. There's a lot of good things that you learn. It's just the job itself a lot of times doesn't translate. I know I have – there's a lot of friends of mine, of course, being in police and fire insurance. There's a lot of friends of mine that are police officers that was 11 Bravos. And they a lot of those guys get out and they become police officers. And that's fine. It doesn't necessarily transfer over to a police officer. But the fact of uniformity, the fact of – you know, the police officer job itself is they're looking for definitely a few good men. And that's what the Army gives you is that background of being on time. And, you know, uniform is to code, I guess you could say, you know. But, you know, as far as getting out and finding I think my own opinion of this whole thing is one thing that people miss and one thing that you just, I guess you just don't do. You know, I didn't do it at age 23. I didn't do it at age 30. You know, it was, it's finding a definite purpose. What is it that you're here to do? And I really believe the reason that I got back into an environment similar to the service, but it was the fire department. The reason that I was driven to get into the fire service was because I have a desire to help people, and I could help people on, you know, doing that particular job. I was helping Americans doing the Army thing. Whether I realized or not, that's what I was basically doing. And then when I got out trying to find myself, what do I really like to do? And I was in customer service, I was in sales, and I wanted to get into the fire service, and I love helping people. And then you have to kind of narrow it down a little bit and figure out the plan to get there. And so I think if anything is important, it's to try to think about what your purpose is, what your chief aim and your goal is, you know, in the next 12 months, and figure out how you're going to get there. And it's not going to be a quick decision because it's very difficult to sit there and write that down, but you have to write it down. So,
and then start moving towards it.
Right, right, so, and it's not easy to do. I mean, trying to write a goal down, you know, a lot of people have unreachable goals that they'll write. I mean, they're not even going to write down. It's just going to be in their brain. But if you write it down, and if it's, you know, like this police and fireman's insurance that I'm involved with, if you write down, say it's a monetary goal, or say it's you have to write something specific, and have a goal of 12 months and then say, okay, what do I have to do each month? Now, what do I have to do each week? And break it down so I can get to that goal. And
right.
99% of the people out there don't even know what direction they're heading. They're just living. So
you got into the fire department, loved it. And you basically utilized the competencies learned through the military, selfless service. You wanted to help people. Whether that was fire service, police service, you know, federal service, whatever it is,
right.
Some of the additional duties you had, some of the positions you had, all of that really helped. And you know, the good thing about the fire department is you have to try out. So it's just like going through basic training again, you know, and you're used to that. You're healthy enough for it. Right.
Right.
So when you got into the fire service, at what point did you, hear about the Police and Fire Insurance Association, and then how did you transition from that into the insurance?
You know, it was about 10 years after I was on the department. It was one of the managers, actually a manager just like I am now, Midwest regional manager, came to the fire department and was looking for someone that, you know, would maybe be a good fit for police and firemen's insurance, because really what they do is provide injury protection, provide life insurance, provide, you know, different types of protection for police officers, firefighters, and their families. Being a non-for-profit organization, they don't advertise. It's really word of mouth. And so it's kind of a slow growing, it's a word of mouth association, but it's only for police officers and firefighters. So, when I got into that, it took me about a year or so just to even want to do that, because my main thing was I just didn't want to be another insurance agent. And the word insurance drives everybody out the door, and the word salesman drives everybody out the door. And so, it's such a good organization, and we do such good things for these guys across the country, that I just wanted to be a part of it and represent the area that I was having, which was the Richmond, Indiana, the eastern side of Indiana, and the Dayton, Ohio region. And, just taking care of the guys, because there's people getting injured and killed all over the place right now. And so just taking care of them is gratification for me. I mean, I love it. And it's just another way I can help the guys that help others. You know, you're helping those that help others. So,
right. And you actually did that while you were working on the fire department as well.
Right. That was, everybody on the fire department has a skill, and they do, side jobs and things to make ends meet. And that's what my side job was. It's just very satisfying. So.
Yeah, no. And I think it's something that, is not really stated too often, because everyone believes, or wants to believe there's one purpose, there's one thing that I'm supposed to do, and when I get out of the service, that one thing is what I'm looking at and I'm focused on, and I need it at a high salary. And, your story, basically when you transition, you had to take a couple years at a lower salary, find yourself and figure out your strengths and really who you were and what you wanted. You got into the fire service. And then you retired from the fire service, but while you were in the fire service, you actually did Police and Fire Insurance Association part-time, which is fantastic. So now, a lot of people on the outside of the military have multiple jobs that they actually conduct. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of people have those and they consider them hobbies. Right.
Right.
But like, You, the fire department really worked for you because you're working 24-hour shifts and you're off a couple days in between. Those couple days in between, you're utilizing for police and fire, and that was your next career after you retired from the fire department.
Yeah, and I think that's something that it's hard to understand, first of all, when you've been in the service for, a short time. If you're in for 4 years, maybe 8 years or 10, and you get out, I think if you're in for 20 or longer, yeah, you when you get out and you retire, if you're getting another job, you're expecting a pretty high salary. Okay. But if you're 10 years and under, you're going to have to suck that pride up a little bit, more than likely, because you got to find yourself, and you just got to get in the front door of someplace. And once you get in the front door, you're going to move up quick because you have qualities that most Americans don't.
And I think, well, that's a great strategy. That is a great strategy when, you know, if you get your mind around doing that. So let's figure out how to get some of these guys into the front door of PFIA.
Sure.
So right now you're the Midwest manager. Can you describe kind of your area and the different areas that PFIA are located in throughout the U.S. and then your area specifically, and then we'll focus on your area for right now.
Yeah, you know, and this is another thing. I am a long-term goal-oriented person. So, again, you know, getting out, I'm going to kind of go back just a shade, getting out of the service, working for Cellular One over in Dayton, Ohio, traveling over there, raising a daughter on my own during this time, being a single parent. And, at $7.50 is really, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But it wasn't, I'm not getting that job. What I'm getting is an opportunity. And when I got into Cellular One, within a couple years, I moved up to customer service manager, you know, and was doing very well. And then kind of found myself and my niche. And then the fire department opportunity came up. And I'm thinking, well, man, that'd be great. You know, I can get a pension, plus I can work on the side because of the hours that they have. And so I can build something up so I can eventually retire and already have something that I've worked on for the last so many years. And that's exactly what happened. And as soon as I retired, you know, I was fortunate enough to get a promotion into a Midwest regional manager job for police officers and firefighters. And it's, you know, so you got to almost have that long-term vision and find out the short-term goals that go with it. So, and just believe in it. And I think having that positive mental attitude through the years and that focus of, you know, there's so many naysayers and so many negative people and leaders and everything that say you can't do it. And that just drives you even more. If you're somebody like me, you know, it just drives you even more. And so, right now, Midwest regional manager for police officers and firefighters, the Insurance Association. And really I'm going from Ohio to Denver, Colorado, Michigan down through Kentucky and over. So, I mean, it's a big area, and there's a lot of areas within that I'm personally looking for a good person to represent their department. But there's also other regional managers just like myself that are in Florida or Texas or on the East Coast or in New York. And they're just, they're out there looking for the same. They're looking for good people. Character is important, and work ethic. And, you know, what you said a little while ago is what I try to instill in some of the guys that I have, some of the department representatives that I currently have, is that you have to make daily habits. You got to make a habit of doing things. And the habit is basically being persistent enough to stop in places and just talk to people. You know, just talk to firefighters or talk to police officers. I mean, what other questions did you have? It's I can ramble on forever.
All right. So let's do this. You know, Police and Fire Insurance Association is looking for active, retired, or volunteer police officers, firemen, or correctional officers, correct?
That's correct. Typically, we look for career, whether they're active or retired. We occasionally will hire a volunteer firefighter, but for the most part, the department representatives will be active or retired from a career organization.
Okay. So if there's someone out there who meets that, then how, you know, and is very interested, because, you know, there's a lot of vacancies that Police and Fire Insurance Association has throughout the U.S. How would they actually apply? Or, you know, is it a resume like everybody else? You know, most organizations, you have to, you know, if you go to Home Depot, you're going to have to submit your resume and fill out a resume online. I don't know why you put both together. Well, there's a reason, but, you know, you put both in, you got to submit it, and you never hear back.
Right.
So for Police Fire Insurance Association, if somebody has a great competency, hey, they like to talk to people, they want to help. They're very supportive in, for firemen. They're supportive with cops and, you know,
right,
correctional facilities. They're in that type of atmosphere right now. How do they go about applying?
Actually, it's pretty easy. You know, and this is one thing that's, I can only imagine in today's world with all the, you know, a lot of the places that you visit that have these functions for veterans or transitioning military, and, you know, you're dropping off this resume at each one of these desks and everything like that, and it's all prim and proper. The bottom line is you got to believe in yourself, and everything, I really believe this, and I think this is the salesperson coming out in me, but every person, if they, it's, let me, I'm trying to organize my thoughts. But when the world, whatever you want, it's a numbers game. If you want a job, if you want that job bad enough, you can stand on one corner and you can walk down downtown New York and you can go into every business and find 100 ways not to get a job. Because you can ask them for a job, they'll say, no, we're not looking for them. You go in the next one, you can say, I'm qualified for this, and no, we're not taking applications. And every one of those, if you make it a learning experience, instead of taking it as a no, taking it as a learning experience, and find out the objections that they're telling you, and figure out how you're going to answer it next time. It may take you 100 businesses to get that job. But the better you get of handling those objections, it might now take you 20.
Sure.
You might only have to go a block to get a good job, at least to get in the door. And then once you're in the door, you can show what you got. But with police and fireman's insurance, what's that?
Yeah, so I was just going to give them the webpage for you, policeandfireinsurance.com. And you can see that. Let me repeat it again. www.policeandfireinsurance.com. And tons of information on that website. And it's a U.S. Covers all the states. It talks about, you know, how to apply. It's really just an inquiry, I believe.
That's what it is. It's just you click on the link and you fill out a form and you basically put if you're a firefighter, police officer, or correction officer, and it'll get sent. Actually, it gets sent to me, and I'll distribute it through the other regional managers. There's really no resume required, believe it or not. And what you'll have is a guy calling you, like myself, and scheduling some time to talk to you, and probably we'll probably sit down and talk over a course of a couple months and sit down and talk with you two or three times, you know, because you really need to be the right type of person. You don't have to be a salesperson. You don't need to be that, you know, the typical sales guy, because we know as firefighters and police officers, that sales guy, we don't want in the firehouse. So You have to have a genuinely caring character and a pleasing personality, and I think you'd be just fine. So, and a good work ethic, because it is. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, if let's just start from the beginning. Then, if somebody out there is interested, and they reach out, and let's say they're from somewhere in the Midwest, and you will receive that notification that, hey, I'm looking for something, and I'm part of, let's say, a fire department in the Midwest, and I'm looking for a part-time job, and this sounds great because I want to help other firemen or police officers, for that matter, just because they want to do that, right? And
correct.
It's part of them. It's in their blood. The first phone call, can you walk us through how you work the first phone call and kind of what you're looking for?
Well, I think the very first phone call, and this is just personal preference, because you know you have different regional managers out there, but you know, when I talk to somebody, I think, being in this business for a long time, I have a pretty good idea of a person's personality when you're talking to them on the phone, but then you want to sit down and actually see them in person. What you want to have is enthusiasm. Okay. And I think what we're looking for in a nutshell is somebody that wants to build a business. And it's a part-time business. You know, police and fire insurance is unique. We, you know, they compare us. They always say, are you just like Aflac? Okay. Aflac's a great company. But we're very similar to them, but there's so many little differences that make big differences with our organization. Our members that are paying for policies out there, a portion of every one of those policies that they're paying for goes to pay a memorial benefit for even non-members. And there's, what I'm saying is, police officers, firefighters that get killed in the line of duty, a portion of our members' premiums each month go to help that firefighter or police officer's family. And it goes to help an orphan income for police officers and firefighters. There's so many good fraternal benefits that we offer that is second to none. It just helps guys throughout the country. But when I talk to somebody, I really want someone to, again, education is to me and to a lot of guys out there, it doesn't establish a work ethic. And it doesn't get you in the front door with police and firemen's insurance, because what we're looking for is enthusiasm, good character, a willingness to build a business on a part-time basis. We're not asking you to do a full-time job. We're asking you to do a part-time job, even if you're retired. Now, if you want to make it a full-time job, you can spend as many hours as you want doing it. But at the minimum, it's a part-time job that you can build up and you can work into something to go to after retirement. I think it's a smart move for a smart police officer or firefighter that has a goal in mind of doing something like that and helping right. guys at the same time.
So what kind of, based on some of the previous interviews that you've had, whether it was face-to-face or on the floor, what were some of the discriminating factors, things that somebody may have said or conveyed or just kind of exuded, right? They showed that you were kind of like, you're just not the right fit, right?
That's actually a pretty good question. I tell you the thing, and here's there's a fine line, especially in sales. There's a fine line in a money-driven person and someone who wants to build a business. Because you can, it just depends on how that person is approaching that question, I guess you could say. Because guys that are money-driven, we really don't need anybody greedy, okay? We don't want greed, because a lot of times that takes away from your caring, genuinely caring for our officers out there. What we're looking for is someone who wants, we service and sell. So an account rep or department representative also handles every claim, every injury claim, every death claim, every change of address, every beneficiary change. So you have that on top of an actual, I guess you could say, sales job. But we have no quotas. So it's a part-time job where your responsibility really is taking care of your officers and firefighters out there, whether it's claims or whether it's providing solutions to a person that needs life insurance, or providing solutions to a person that needs cancer insurance. You have to be there for them. And I think probably somebody, I tell you, you know, and I've had experience with this. It's interesting because you'll be talking to somebody and interviewing them, and they'll be, they want to make money. And you hire them and they do nothing. It's, again, you have to make daily habits. You don't get anything for free, and it doesn't come easy until you make it a habit. And so, you know, saying I want to make money, I'm motivated, and us saying you're hired, and then within a week you're discouraged with, you know, hearing things that you're not learning from. You're just, it's sticking to you. Some of the objections or some of the rejection or whatever. And then you become stale and say, I can't do this. Well, you have to look more long-term than that and build a business, not try to make money, money, money. If you do it right, it'll come.
Right, right. So what we'll do, we're going to continue with the questions, but if anyone out there actually has a question they want to ask Brian, all you have to do is call 929-477-4063. Let me give it to you one more time. 929-477-4063. And we're going to stay on probably up to 8 o'clock. So just call in if you do have a personal question to ask Brian. But in the meantime, Brian, can you describe the day in a life of a PFIA insurance representative?
Yeah, I mean, I can describe a day in the life when I was doing it. It's you know, I would say that I was fairly successful at the job of doing it, because I really cared for the guys. And if I got a phone call and I got a text, you know, you might get one at 10 o'clock at night. You might get one at 6 at night. Somebody that got hurt or a wreck in an ambulance or a patrol car or whatever, and they're asking you, or they're telling you they just got hurt sometimes and they're on their way to the hospital. So, the perfect day basically is, say you have an area, say I'm going to just use Dayton, Ohio, the region of Dayton. Say you have an area out there and your morning starts, you probably do some paperwork about 8:30 to 9:30, go to the post office about 10, because there's no fire department out there that you need to go to before 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the morning. They're all doing work. They're all doing a lot of necessary, what we would call in the service, we'd call it motor pool maintenance. They're doing a lot of that. And the trainings and everything they have, especially nowadays with the paramedics and the EMTs. So somewhere between 10:30 and probably 2:30 is your time where you would go and visit anywhere from three to five stations, and visit three to five stations, and you're not selling anything. Some of the bigger cities, they may have 30 firehouses. They may have 50. They may be like Chicago and have just a whole bunch of them. And it's just a schedule. So you try to go 1 or 2 days a week and you visit another 3 to 5 stations. If police stations are in your area that you're handling, a lot of times if it's a big area, we'll have a police officer designated for police department. So you're going to meet those guys maybe at squad meetings or certain functions. Every now and then, you know, you can go to a union meeting, or we also do, actually usually in a perfect day, you're going to 3 to 5 stations between 10:30 and 2:30, and you're getting back to the house by 3:30. And just in time for the kids to get off the bus. And that's exactly right. I mean, it's not real stressful, and you do one day a week or you do 2 days, and some, if you're motivated, you'll do 3 days. And it's just taking a few hours and being consistently visible. When you go in those firehouses, when you go in those firehouses, you're not selling anything. I mean, as soon as you start selling, it turns people off. You don't do that. So what you want to do is the best way to get people to talk and find out about them is be genuinely interested in them. It's really surprising to me how many people really don't care about anybody else. So if you're money driven, you're not going to care about anybody else. If you're people driven, then you will. So when you go into a firehouse, they'll be welcoming you in and say, "Hey, you want some coffee?" Or you want, "Hey, how you doing, Brian?" La 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 la. Because they know I'm not selling anything. I'm not going to bring up insurance stuff until someone asks me about it. But the way to open up those conversations to find out what somebody currently is needing is to ask the six important questions when you're talking to them. Remember, everybody loves talking about themselves. So if I could give anybody any conversational tips, it would be to ask questions, the who, what, why, when, where, and how. And if you can just think of those six when you're speaking to somebody and just go down the list, you'll be amazed how much they talk, and they will tell you exactly what they need. So,
is that something that that you try to find in somebody that you're talking to?
Well, you know what happens is it's conversational. You know, when you're talking to somebody, I could go anywhere right now and just start talking to somebody by asking them questions, because everybody loves talking about themselves. And so before long, you'll know, okay, well, now in this 10-minute conversation, I know they have a couple kids. One of them got hurt in softball. The other one's ready to graduate next year, and they're married and la, la, la. Well, I want to make sure they know about the scholarship that we offer for outgoing seniors. They may not even be aware that we offer a scholarship. So now I know what one of their needs more than likely are. You know, if you go in trying to sell products, they may not have a need for that. It depends on the person. If you know what their needs are, it's much easier to be available for them. And so if they had a child that got hurt in a softball game or a soccer game or something like that. You know, we offer child accident protection. You just let them know we offer it, and if they want it, great. If not, walk away. You're not going to sell anyone anything. You know, people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. I mean, if you think about that, it's crazy, but it's the truth. They hate to be sold, but they love to buy.
So how do you find that person? Like if one of our listeners were to talk to you, and this type of job sounds to be exactly what they're looking for, you know, how do they convey that to you, right? Because not everyone's good at asking questions about, you know, to people.
Right.
A lot of people are private, and that feels like you're intruding, right? How do they convey their desire to be able to ask questions, to be able to have the desire to run their own business? Maybe it's part-time to full-time, you know, time commitments based on their family, themselves, and just their desire. How do they show that to you?
You know, that's kind of interesting. I think that I don't really know how they can show that other than with enthusiasm and a drive. I think they just if it's someone that is looking for a long-term business, you know, there's a probationary period just like there is in the fire service or police department. In both of those areas, you have a 1-year probationary period. Police and fire, there's similar probationary period, I guess you could say. It's just, you know, some people have to get out of their comfort zone. If you're a business owner and you're running a business, say, just, I mean, the one right outside your front door, if you're running that business, you are going to have to spend some time to make that business successful. You're going to have to spend a little bit of time, and you have to get out of your comfort zone. You got to talk to people. Maybe it's a supplier. Maybe it's salesman. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. You have to get out of that comfort zone. And that's probably the hardest part for guys that are on a police department or fire service, is they don't want to be the salesman. And I just wish they knew, if they were trained just a little bit more or a little better on how not to sell and do well, because it's, nobody wants a salesman. It's, you have to actually genuinely care. You have to think, first of all, why do you have homeowners insurance or car insurance with a certain person? Maybe it's a friend or brother-in-law or whatever. Why do you have it with them? Is it because you trust them, or is it because they're selling you at every football game you've been to, or every, you know, baseball game at the youth league? No, they don't do that. You won't be with them very long. They probably don't even bring it up. And that's the point I'm getting to. People buy from those who they trust, not who try to sell them. So trying to find that is difficult for a lot of guys. I mean, it really is, because it's just trying to get out of their comfort zone a little bit and be a little more conversational. If you're an introvert, that's no big deal. I'd rather have an introvert that's interested in people than an extrovert that's only there for money. Okay.
Right.
So, there's ways that we can work around it. I would ask anyone that's interested in at least speaking to one of the regional managers to fill out that form at policeandfireinsurance.com, because we are looking for, in a lot of areas, we're looking for good men and women to represent their departments. And it's a great opportunity. It's just, we don't advertise. And a lot of the areas throughout the United States still do not even know about police and firemen's insurance, because it is not on every advertisement on TV, you know. But it's such a good program that we have. And it's been around for over 100 years. You know, we started in 1913 out of Indianapolis, Indiana. The police officers and firefighters, they had quite a few incidents where guys got they lost some police officers and firefighters. And so both organizations came together and formed a fraternal benefit society. And that's how it was formed. And it's for over 100 years, we've been protecting police officers and firefighters.
Hey, Brian, we only have about 4 minutes left. You know, one additional question I had for you is, so if you have, let's say you have a police officer out there who wants to do this part-time, you know, most of the police officers and firefighters, correctional officers, they all have part-time jobs. They all have something else. Most everybody, you know, does that anyway. It's not a bad thing. It's actually really good because you have a backup plan just in case one doesn't go very well. But let's say you have a police officer who's not, you know, is not a fireman, and he's not familiar with going into firehouses. Let's say, you know, because I mean, you know, or vice versa, you have a fireman or a correctional officer who really doesn't frequent the police stations, right, or the sheriff's department or the state police. Is that a huge concern for somebody who's applying?
No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, you know, it's very easy to you know, show someone, being a regional manager, you know, show someone how to do that. In the process that would go into it, it's not as scary as what someone might think it is. And just because you're not, you know, you're not going to have a guy that's every, you know, every fire department or every police department has several guys on there that might be volunteer firefighters, or a firefighter might be a police officer on the side, but it doesn't happen very often. And again, it's just a little bit to get out of the comfort zone. But I tell you what, once you really meet the other side, if you're a police officer of corrections, you meet the firefighters, or if you're firefighters and you get and build rapport with the police officers, it's a great brotherhood, and that you know that you're doing a job that's very important. When a guy, when incidents happen, like needle sticks, blood exposure, you know, gunshot wounds, deaths, things like that, and you know you're really, you have a purpose, and it just, to me, it just drives the idea of this business even more.
And
when
if somebody
it's on larger
wants
scale
to focus.
Like that.
If they would just like, if they want to just focus on their fire departments in their county or something like that, is that offered?
It is offered. It would just depend on the area that they're in, and if there's someone already in that area. So the best way to find out is just to fill out that form, and you'll get a phone call and talk to a regional manager in your area, because you may not know if there's a police officer handling your department or not, or it might be a large department. I would, no matter what, I would call and ask some questions. We would love to talk to you.
Now, that sounds great. That sounds fantastic. So once again, we've got about 40 seconds to go. Once again, it's policeandfireinsurance.com. And we really appreciate Brian spending the time to provide the advice. You got 30 seconds, Brian. Any last minute advice to transitioning veterans?
You know, I would just say that you have to be focused and never use failure or rejection to stop you from doing anything. Use it to learn how to do it better.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening today. please visit us at battlefieldresumes.com and find out how to build the business of you. Give us some feedback on topics that you'd like to know about. And remember, most of all, make today count.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo,
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.